Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What's up, everybody? Matt Kajewski here, back again with the Stochastic DFS channel. And today we're talking some college football DFS ahead of the conference championship Friday slate. Before we get started, make sure to hit that thumbs up button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification bell so you know when this and all other content goes live. We're also brought to you today by Prize Picks. And Prize Picks, what are they? They are a daily prop-based platform where you're making lineups of player props. It's overs, unders, touchdowns, receiving yards, passing yards, you name it, they have it. And it's not just college football. They have NFL, NBA, NHL, and you can mix and match those within your lineup. Also, if you click the link in the video description below, you'll get a match deposit bonus up to $100 and one free month of Stochastic Plus Platinum. So make sure to check them out. Let's dive into the slate. We've got two games, unfortunately. DraftKings and FanDuel both left the Akron game off, which is a shame. But we've got two bangers nonetheless, and we'll kick things off with the Conference USA Championship. North Texas takes on UTSA. It's a rematch. The spread is 9 points. The total is 69. First game finished with a score of 31-27 in favor of UTSA, if I am not mistaken. Both these teams are very fast. North Texas 30th in pace. UTSA is 23rd. Both pretty run-heavy to North Texas, 46% pass rate. UTSA is about 48.5% pass rate. Start with the North Texas side. They were the loser in the first matchup here. And this team, they faced a UTSA defense which sold out to stop the run. They know that North Texas is a run-based team. They tried to let Austin Onye beat them at quarterback, and he almost did. He threw for 325 yards. So it was a risky strategy by UTSA, and it almost didn't work, but ultimately they got it done. With Onye, he's like 29 years old, had a stint in minor league baseball, came back, took the Brandon Whedon route, but he is 5,100 here, the cheapest QB. Pretty efficient, 259 yards on 29 attempts. Not the most mobile, 40 rushing yards on the year for Onye. And typically, I think we'd have more interest in this guy, but it's an elite quarterback slate. We've got Frank Harris, Cam Rising, and Caleb Williams. And interestingly, North Texas, with a 30-point implied team total, has the lowest implied team total on the board, which is insane. So right away, Onye is kind of just a guy that gets left behind, but you can obviously play Onye. Very efficient. We already saw him over 300 yards in this matchup, and salary is not really an issue in this slate, but you know, if you do want to just jam studs around Onye, he kind of allows that. In the backfield, it's a complete disaster. They're dealing with a ton of injuries here. Excuse me. Starting with their lead back, Oscar Attaway hasn't played in the last 3 weeks. Not expecting to see him here. Ayo Adeyi hasn't played in the last 2 games. Not expecting to see him here. We're going to have to wait and see on the statuses of both of these players. They did release a depth chart, and I'm going to pull it back up. I believe they listed one of these guys on it. Yeah, so Adeyi was actually listed on the depth chart, but Attaway was not. Again, this doesn't mean that Adeyi is going to play, but if he does, I would assume Adeyi is the lead back. The number two guy here is Ikea Ragsdale. And Ikea Ragsdale, Ikeka, I don't know how to say his name. Ragsdale, we're just going to call him. He might be ahead of Adeyi, even if Adeyi's active, just because of the injury status. Over the last 2 games, Ragsdale has 17 and 17 carries. This isn't a team that targets their running backs a ton in the pass game, but he also has 2 and 6 targets. So that's a pretty good target share for Ragsdale as well as just the Stone lead back. And it could be even a larger workload because Isaiah Johnson got hurt in their most recent game too. He'd been functioning as a change of pace back. So three out of the four top backs are dealing with an injury at this point. That makes Ragsdale at 3,500 a pretty good play. We're just going to have to wait and get confirmation on the statuses of Adeyi and Johnson. I think one of them maybe goes, but not sure. It's a wait-and-see situation, but North Texas runs the ball a ton. I think we want to play one of these guys, and none of them are expensive. So you could honestly, if you want to play the safest route, I think maybe you just build a lineup with Johnson because he's the most expensive, and then you pivot to Ragsdale or Adeyi depending on the statuses of the other players. That'll at least give you the salary that, you know, you don't have to, you know, if you play Ragsdale and then Adeyi plays, you don't want to make that pivot because you might not have the $100, but if you go the other way, it should be there. Anyway, that's the running back situation. It's kind of a mess. Just wait and see. Luckily, it's the early game. In the receiving game, this is a kind of a difficult situation to evaluate. There's a bit of a rotation here, but luckily the routes, I think they're fairly consistent, and I'll bring them up for you guys. This North Texas team has shown some productivity among receivers here. In their most recent game, we had Jair Shorter, 80% of the routes. That's pretty consistent. The game prior, they had a bye. The game prior, he was at 78%. So Shorter has been pretty clearly running a lot of routes, whereas Roderick Burns, he hasn't eclipsed 60% of the routes in four straight games. 51%, 49%, 58%. And 47% for Roderick Burns. Now, it hasn't really affected the targets too much. The targets between Shorter and Burns are still relatively close. Burns still leads the team in receiving yards. But I think this could flip at some point. So I'm not sure I want to prioritize Burns. I think Shorter just in a vacuum might be the better play based on the routes. But it's not just that. Damon Ward, he's had a route share of 75% and 83% over the last two games. And that's been pretty consistent for him. Now, early in the year, it was not. So this is sort of a new role for him. His route rate is 56% on the year. But he had a 10-target game 2 weeks ago, just one last game. He's averaging more targets over the last four games than both Burns and Shorter. So Damon Ward is somewhat interesting to me at the Stone minimum. I think he's in play here, and I don't think a lot of people are going to necessarily go down to this range. From there, we have tight end Varquise Gums, averaging the same targets per game over the last four as Damon Ward. He's a bit more expensive. His routes are a little more volatile. He hasn't beaten out Damon Ward in either of the last two games in routes, and it hasn't really been close. He splits time with Jake Roberts, the other tight end. So that's volatile. Not too much interest there. And then occasionally you're going to see players like Jamori Macklin on the field, Tommy Bush. But route rates have been really low for everybody else. Prioritizing these players, I think Jair Shorter's one price adjusted, Roderick Burns two, Damon Ward three. Going to UTSA, this team has a monstrous 39 total. It paces the slate. Frank Harris is extremely cheap, 6,100. He's the best price adjusted quarterback on the slate, even ahead of Caleb Williams, and it's just because he's nearly 3,000 cheaper. He has 539 rush yards in the year. That paces the slate. He averages 294 and a half as a passer on just 33 attempts. We've already seen him in this matchup where North Texas actually gave him some trouble, especially through the air, 238 pass yards in that game. But I wouldn't worry about it here. He just has such a long sample of being elite. There's going to be blips on the radar for every quarterback. So Frank Harris, he's locked in, rock solid play. The backfield is concerning here. So Brendan Brady's already ruled out for the game. One beat reporter ruled out Treylon Harris, and then he came up on the depth chart, but he wasn't listed as the starter. That suggests to me that Treylon Smith is probably a long shot to play, and if he does play, at what capacity? I don't feel good about Treylon Smith here. And Kavorian Barnes was listed straight up ahead of him. With all the injuries in their most recent game, Kavorian Barnes, 15 carries. There's a chance he handles almost every single carry here. He had two targets as well. That was with Brendan Brady playing a bit as well here. So I think Kavorian Barnes is the lead back. And then it's so tough to tell because they listed two players in the depth chart that haven't been playing recently. So their backup, they listed as Treylon Smith. And then they listed Kedrick Cobbs as the third string. I don't know what to make of that because we haven't seen Cobbs all year. But anyway, that's the depth chart. If neither of them play, I think Justin Rodriguez would be the two, but we're kind of just guessing here. Rodriguez did have 7 carries apiece in the third and second most recent game. But Kevorian Barnes is the guy I'm looking at to sum it all up. Receiving game, this team lost to Corian Clark a few weeks ago, but they still have Zachary Franklin and Joshua Cephas, both elite players. Franklin averaging 79.5 yards per game. Cephas averaging 74 yards per game. Targets are very consistent for these players. And UTSA is kind of taking their foot off the gas in a couple of recent games. So I wouldn't look too much into this. Both these players were averaging over 100 yards earlier this season. They're rock solid plays. Cephas in particular, way too cheap. And then Tyke Ogle-Kellogg is the one-for-one replacement for DeCorian Clark. It's not a rotation. 80% of the routes last week. He's had 5 targets in 2 of the last 3 games. He's going to clearly be behind Franklin and Cephas, but Tyke Ogle-Kellogg is the stone man on DraftKings. So just like in a one-for-one situation, you would prefer him to the Damon Wards of the world, but man, I can't believe they didn't price him up above the min. Very clearly the wide receiver 3 here. And then outside of that, it's basically a rotation at tight end. I don't think we want too much to do with that position. So I guess just to give you the routes so you guys have it, it's kind of been Oscar Cardenas, 46%. Dan Dishman, he's in there a little bit. Gavin Sharp wasn't there, but he got carted off the field in their last game. So I think it's more of a rotation between Cardenas and Dishman. I would prefer Cardenas if playing one, but don't feel good about it. Again, with Tyke Ogle-Kellogg at the min, I don't really see the need to get to these other guys. Let's go to our second game. Utah-USC, 3-point spread in the rematch in favor of USC. 68.5 total, so very close here. These are the second and third highest implied teams on the slate. Utah is at 32.75. That makes them the third. They're very slow, 111th in pace, 44.5% pass rate. Rising's been incredibly efficient, but he's clearly a step behind like Caleb Williams in terms of raw production on the field. He averages 239 yards per game on 30 attempts, so pretty efficient still for Rising. And then he has 391 rush yards. So it's like both of these metrics are clearly behind Frank Harris, and he's 2,000 more expensive than Frank Harris. So projections aren't going to give you a lot of Rising. I think they're going to favor Caleb Williams and Frank Harris as the two chalk quarterbacks, but Rising certainly has a ceiling. His best game of the year came against USC. He was over 400 passing yards in that game. Very mobile. None of that's changed. You'll see a narrative out there that he's kind of declined since the injury. They've also played really weak teams and tried to stay healthy, like they had a game against Colorado, Arizona. I mean, he wasn't even playing full games in some of these contests, so don't look too much at the box scores. Rising is solid, and he's very good in GPPs. And then in the backfield, Tavian Thomas, he left the program. I don't know if he anticipated them getting to this point, but he's gone. That means Micah Bernard, Jaquindon Jackson, Jalen Glover, and Charlie Vincent are going to handle all the work. It's tough to gather what they're going to do because they played Colorado. What does the backfield actually look like? Because Glover led the team in carries, but I went and dug into the play-by-play. Micah Bernard did not touch the ball once in the second half, and he very clearly led the team in the first half. The second back in the game was Jaquindon Jackson. Most of his touches came in the first half, played a little bit in the second half, but did not touch the ball outside of the third quarter. Glover, almost all of his carries came in the second half. So yes, he led the team in carries, but this is very clearly in salt the game away mode. And then the very last drive is when we saw Charlie Vincent. So I think there's a very clear pecking order. Micah Bernard 1, Jaquindon Jackson 2, Jalen Glover 3. Bernard is the clear pass catching back as well. Hasn't really been reflected in their most recent games, but he is still third on the team in targets. So Bernard, he's the clear play you want to get to. And then change of pace back, Jaquindon Jackson's going to be involved. The problem is you can't play him at running back. He's listed as a quarterback on DraftKings. So Jaquindon Jackson is virtually unplayable. Like you're not going to play him over Frank Harris, Caleb Williams, Cam Rising, even Austin Ani. I would rather play all of them over Jaquindon. It's tough to see. Receiving game, we lost Brant Keithy very early in the year. Dalton Kincaid has filled in admirably for him. Got hurt in their most recent game. Shouldn't really affect him here. So Kincaid, I think, rock solid play. Probably going to project a little worse than guys in his range just because he's in the same range as the UTSA receivers, the Addisons, all of them at better value than Kincaid and better volume, but he is a very, very good tight end play if you can get him. Devon Vele plays every snap, just not quite targeted as much as Kincaid. Again, similar to Kincaid, I would rather play the USC and UTSA receivers in a vacuum. These are GPP plays more or less. And then from there, the routes have been somewhat volatile, but Money Parks has kind of carved out that wide receiver two role. At least 50% of the routes are more in three straight games, but he's never eclipsed 67%. So it's a rotation for him even at the two. Like last week, for example, and I say last week because it's fairly consistent across their most recent games. This is just the most recent data point. Money Parks, 58% of routes. Jalen Dixon, 42. Solomon Enos at 15. He's been seeing a less and less role, I guess. Mekhi Cope, 46%. And tight end two, Thomas Yasmin, 46%. They use a lot of 12 personnel. So all that to say, it's very inconsistent here. Like projections aren't going to give you a lot of Money Parks, who I think is the best play outside of Vele and Kincaid. They're going to give you Tyke Kellogg or Ogle Kellogg, whatever order his name is, I forget. Anyway, I'll go back and see. Tyke Ogle Kellogg, I believe. Yeah, they're going to give you him because he's a stone mini, has better volume than any of these Utah receivers. So these are your pivot plays if you're game stacking. None of them should be very owned. So Money Parks would be the guy I get to most of this group. At least three targets in four straight games. Getting to the USC side, not fast. They're 89th in pace, but they have a 52% pass rate. They're just super efficient, so they don't need to be fast. Caleb Williams is the most expensive signal caller on the slate. He's still the best play. Utah's defense doesn't scare you. Caleb went well over 300 yards passing in that game. Rushed for a bunch too, forget the exact numbers, but on the year he has 351 rushing yards, averages nearly 310 pass yards per game on 34 attempts. He's going to win the Heisman for good reason. He's as efficient as they come. Your two chalk quarterbacks are going to be Williams and Frank Harris. So how you pivot from that is up to you, whether you decide to do it with a QB or somewhere else. That's your decision, but that's where chalk is going to be. In the running back field, Austin Jones is the best running back play on the slate. He has touched the ball at least 20 times in two straight games, been over 120 rushing yards in at least two games. Awesome pass catcher. Haven't needed to use him in that capacity, but he's a rock solid play at 6K. And I'm not worried about any negative correlation. Play him with Williams, don't play him with Williams. It doesn't matter. He's a good play regardless. The receiving game should be interesting to see what USC does. They've been rotating a lot, and that's affected players like Addison too. And they've been in some semi-competitive games. I mean, like the Notre Dame game wasn't exactly close, but it wasn't like a blowout either. Addison only participated in 63% of the routes. He's rarely been above like 75%, but since he came back from injury, the highest route rate he's logged is 68%. I'm curious to see if this like jumps to 85 or if they continue to rotate him in this range just because they have a lot of really good receivers. Last week, Tos Washington, 56% of rounds. Mario Williams, 68%. Brendan Rice is down at 22. Kyle Ford, 67%. Terrell Bynum, 11%. Michael Jackson, 33%. So you can kind of see they're comfortable rotating in these ancillary players, even if it's just for a couple snaps, a couple routes here and there. That affects Addison. That affects Washington. That affects Mario Williams. They don't have the locked-in route rates that some of the other players do on this slate. With that said, it's only two games, and only two teams like to pass, UTSA and USC. So I still think Addison is a priority. He's not expensive at 7,400. The number two I would try to get to of this group is Mario. Even though Taj has had a really good stretch of games here, the trend is showing Mario should play more than him when the chips are down, when they need to actually play. Last game, 67% for Mario, 56% for Taj. Taj would be the three I go to here. Still above Kyle Ford, even though Kyle Ford was at 67% of the routes and Taj was at 56. Targets have favored Taj recently. Kyle Ford only one target last game. He would be the cheapest I feel really good about here at 3,900. There's always your min price Bynums, and I'm probably not quite any cheaper or anyone below that in terms of targets, but it's tough to rank them. Addison one, Mario Williams two, Taj three, and then I'll go down to Kyle Ford four, Brendan Rice, Michael Jackson, Terrell Bynum, just your pure GPP darts. But that'll do it for us. Went a little long, but a conference championship slate, some big slates. Let me know what you guys think about the breakdown. Leave a comment. Also hit the thumbs up button. Subscribe to the channel on the way out. That helps us a ton. And we'll be back again tomorrow breaking down the full main slate. So until then, good luck, guys. We'll see you then.